The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Hey, hi, everybody. I'm out here at Timber Coffee, one of my favorite places in central Alberta for coffee, with my good friend Tim Bergman. And
hey, everybody.
Tim is pastor at Sylvan Lake Alliance Church.
Yep.
And actually, before you were at Sylvan Lake Alliance, I don't know if you remember, but we had Tim speak several times at Crossroads.
That's right. I love that. You guys have been so kind to me.
Yeah.
So I got to meet Wilma. You were never there.
No.
Just like, I don't want to be around here if this guy's here.
I'm smart, man.
And Wilma was just so kind, and your church was so kind. I love being there.
One time you spoke on the book of Esther. And you actually had that whole thing memorized. I don't know if you remember that.
Was that Esther or Jonah?
Maybe it was Jonah. I don't know. But you memorized the whole thing.
I did memorize Esther, but I don't
think... Maybe we could kick it off with you doing that again.
Okay. That's right. But, all my voices.
You know, I've been looking forward to this conversation with Tim for a long time. And we're just going to have a conversation around the things that God is doing in Sylvan Lake and in Red Deer and in our churches. And we thought it'd be great if you just wanted to listen in. So welcome. Tim, you know, it's been a crazy year and a half.
Sure has.
And I've often thought about the word unprecedented. But lately I realize, you know, there's been a lot of pandemics in history and bad economies. And it's really not unprecedented. I thought, you know what's unprecedented? The word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. That is absolutely unprecedented.
Yeah.
And we that's who we get to follow, celebrate, worship. And I really believe he's moved into your neighborhood, our neighborhood, but I thought it'd be interesting just to get our conversation going, just to talk a little bit about kind of the impact of COVID on our fellowships and what you're seeing and what we're seeing. And
yeah, it's so difficult. I just want to say something, just highlight what you just said. You said Jesus stepped into our neighborhood. That means he was in our neighborhoods through the entire pandemic.
Mm.
Jesus has been with us through pandemic. He understands pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
He understands what was difficult about it. He understands what we need to do to work through it. And he's with us to help us with that. That mm-hmm. just, I, for whatever reason, I did not think of Jesus amongst us in pandemic.
Mm.
So that's a cool thought.
Yeah.
It's been crazy days. I think talking with you, talking with other friends who are pastors, it's like, what happened? What happened to the church? You know, like a tornado came in and just blew it all apart, and everybody went in every which way direction. And now we're trying to, as we come to the end of it, the big question I'm asking, I think you're asking, a lot of people are asking is, who are we now? Mm-hmm. Right? Where are we now? Mm-hmm. What are we now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good question, because I know in our situation, and I'm sure it's the same in a lot of churches, we've lost a lot of people. And people have maybe moved on to other fellowships, so it's going to be a really good thing. But there may be a lot of people that have a hard time coming back, just re-engaging. When you think about a year and a half, and sometimes, we get out of doing something, and we were talking about that before, about working out.
Yeah.
You know, how hard it is to get back. You know, clearly, everybody doesn't work out like you and I did. But when you stop working out, how do you get back into it? So, you know, I think that's a big issue for a lot of our folk is how do we get back into fellowshipping together, worshiping together, serving together? You got any ideas around that?
Well, it would be great to say that we're disciples of Jesus and we'll just be obedient to whatever he says. Because he says, don't stop meeting together. He says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. This is what Jesus said he was all about. As disciples, we should look just like him. So the moment we can get back together, we would come back together. Every opportunity we have to serve, to use our giftings, we would use them. And any chance we have to reach out to those who are lost, we would do. The reality is we live in a very me-centered culture, right? It's all around us. It's my opinion matters most. What do I feel like? Mm-hmm. That's kind of trumps, mm-hmm. makes most all my decisions. Mm-hmm. And this idea of being a disciple needs to be resurrected. But honestly, that's just who we are. This is what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And And so we're compelled by Christ. Now, as pastors, we can say, we want to encourage. There are great things that can happen. People have experienced this. They've been watching services online. And, you know, we've found ways to do this really well, to record this really well. And so that people can experience that in their home. And for some, this has been great. They've done this with their family. Family discipleship maybe has taken an upturn through all this. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. But there is something wonderful that happens when people come together that you can't experience in isolation.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really interesting point. As you were talking, I thought about one of our pastors, Pastor Sean. I think you were his youth pastor at one time, Sean Hubert. And but he has a phrase that he uses a lot. He talks about following Jesus together, you know. And I think we forget about discipleship as being in company with Jesus' other friends.
Yeah.
And that together element, when we come together, there's that special presence, as you say, you know. And it's you just can't replace that.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Well, and I remember thinking a while back, I was thinking, you know, what is my role now? What is our role as pastors? And I think of those who serve in the church, who volunteer in the church, maybe they're thinking, what's my role? And I was thinking that, I've seen people at a buffet. Have you ever been to a buffet, you know, and it's laden with food and you see someone going up for their third trip. They got their plate stamped in. They're kind of like, maybe one of those, maybe this, you know, I mean, it's like all this food and they can barely pick one or two things. And I've also seen people stand in lineups for 3 miles to get a bag of rice off the back of a truck. Hmm. And the difference is hunger.
Yeah.
Right. If you're not hungry, it doesn't matter what is set before you, you're not going to eat it. Mm-hmm. And if you are hungry, it doesn't matter what is set before you, you'll eat it. Mm-hmm. And I've been praying and praying and praying for spiritual hunger in people's hearts, right? Because you can do the greatest things, bring in the greatest musicians and the greatest speakers and have all the greatest programs. But if people aren't hungry, they're not gonna be interested in it at all.
Yeah.
And so that's the work of the Holy Spirit, right? We're so dependent on the Holy Spirit in all of this.
Totally.
To come and stir up hunger in people's hearts. And I'm praying that COVID has created a hunger. We had a couple come into our church just like a couple weeks ago, and they hadn't been in a year and a half. And so they came, and you know, during that year and a half, they had some days where they felt like, man, we don't belong anywhere. Let's just go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And these are real feelings that a lot of people had. But they just came, and it was nothing magical about the service. Wasn't that great? I was preaching, I know. And but they said just being with other Christians, being in the room, it lit them up.
Yeah.
Right? And this is why Scripture says, don't give up meeting together. It's not obligation. It's not rules. It's not legalism. It's life.
Yeah.
This is what Jesus wants for us.
Yeah.
Right? I remember I was a piano player. I am a piano player. And we went to piano lessons all the time. And someone said, you don't go to piano lessons every week so that you learn some brand new, magnificent thing that just bumps you. You go to piano lessons to remind yourself that you're a piano player.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes, and we pray for this, that when people come to church, their lives will be radically transformed. Right? And for some, it is. I wonder if the most part, we come together to remind ourselves, that's right, I'm a child of God. I'm a disciple of Jesus. And I've got these people around me to spur me on. I want to live for Jesus this week.
Yeah. That is so good. You know, I think to add just one thing to that, to remind myself that I have spiritual gifts.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit, as a child of God, has gifted me. And that's not just for me. That's for the equipping of the body. It's for the building up of the church. And, and it's for outreach, too. And I think we forget that. And one of the great fears that I've had for a long time is wasting my life. Mm. I don't want to waste my life.
Yep.
I don't want to get to the end and look in Jesus' eyes and him say, you know, you buried your gift. You buried your talent. And I just think we need to encourage each other, encourage our people that, man, you know, this is actually a really good time to be a child of God.
It is.
You know, we have hope. in a world where there's no hope. And when you come together, your hope tends to get built up again. And yeah. you think, oh, this is, you know, that's right. This is who I'm following. This yeah. is what it's about. And so, yeah, my prayer is that God would just do a new thing in our hearts and give us that hunger and also that expectation that when we come together, he shows up.
Yes.
And because he hasn't stopped working.
He hasn't stopped working. So I have a friend who in the States, and he just bought this 10 acres of land off his in-laws, right? So he's clearing this land. He bought a tractor as well, all the best things, you know. Tractor to clear this land. It's filled with these brambles, these blackberry brambles, and it's very thorny, very thick. You can't move around. You can't even get closer. You stick your hand in, you can't pull it out because of the thorns. So he's clearing all this 10 acres of stuff out. He gets to around the middle, and guess what he finds? He finds a plum orchard. Huh. Buried in these thorns. So he clears them all out. For 75 years, these plum trees have been producing plums. Wow. No one saw it. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought there's just deadness in there. Mm. And in the middle of what they couldn't see was life. Mm. Beautiful, delicious, refreshing, sweet life. Yeah. And I think we maybe have a feeling that COVID has felt like brambles everywhere. And you go, ah, man, nothing's been going on. Well, Jesus has not stopped. COVID is way too small to slow down Jesus. Yeah. He fought death and won, made a public spectacle of it by triumphing over the cross. He saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. You think COVID is going to slow down Jesus? So he's been working and doing beautiful stuff. There's plum orchards that are being all over the place, and he is still working. And we get the privilege and the joy of keeping in step with him and saying, Jesus, what are you doing? Could you still use me?
Yeah.
Could I still be a part of your great work of saving lives?
Yeah. You know, it's become part of my prayer too, because I was thinking of that scripture where Jesus said, my Father's always at work and I too am working. But he also said, I only do what I see the Father doing.
Right.
So it's like, Father, can you open my eyes, open our eyes so that we actually get a glimpse of what you're doing. So we get to work alongside of you. And so that was one of the other things that was on my heart today to talk to you about, Tim, is COVID has tended to, you know, get us focused on ourselves.
Totally.
And survival, and for a lot of people, it's been tough because they're losing jobs and losing health, and it's not easy.
Right.
But how do we lift our eyes higher so that we actually get our eyes back on our neighbors and back on what God is actually doing, back on the plum trees? You know, how do we get back to that place where we lift our eyes from ourselves and onto our neighbors? You got any thoughts around that?
Well, I mean, I think it is so true. I think COVID has definitely said, take care of yourself, look at yourself, do what's comfortable for you, do what's easiest, what's best for you. COVID has done that. We live in a culture that says you first, your opinions first above everything else. and then we've got a natural bent. I have a natural bent to take care of myself.
Yeah, me too.
Right? Yeah. And I wish I didn't. I wish that wasn't, you know, my default. And Christ is, this is what he does. He transforms us to be less about ourselves and more about others. But so you have those three things working against us all at the same time. And Jesus then, like you say, calls us away from that, because that's actually a nowhere life. Mm-hmm. Doesn't get you anywhere.
No.
Because I can't save my soul. And so as I begin to see that following Jesus, that's actually where the true life is, and that he's doing an incredible work, right? And so it's when I take my eyes off myself, like you said, and look up, and then begin to think about people that are around me and how they're suffering. Mm-hmm. Now, some are suffering financially, some are suffering health-wise, but I think most people that we look at look just like us, mm-hmm. right? That's what I think. I look around, I see my neighbor, Steve, looks just like me in so many ways. Mm-hmm. So maybe we are exactly the same. And I forget that I know what forgiveness is. I forget that I know what it's like to wake up in the morning, not chained down by shame. Yeah. I forget that I think about eternity, that this life, while it's hard, it's a small segment in a long line of eternity. And people that don't know Jesus don't know that. Some people have never experienced one moment without shame in their life for things they've done, for things that have been done to them.
Yeah.
right? And they have no clue that they could be shame-free, that they could be forgiven, that they could have hope, that they could hear words that, like, you're cherished, you're loved, you're valued, instead of you're fat, you're useless, you'll never amount to anything. And you don't see that from the outside. This is what happens in the heart. Jesus sees that's what's going on in the heart. And you think, Jesus wants to set people free from that. He wants them to know they're loved, that they are forgiven, that they can be set free. And that's an amazing work. And when we see that happen in someone's life, man, it can light you up.
Yeah. It's so exciting. The last week or so, I've been watching the news out of Afghanistan and lately Haiti. And boy, I tell you what, it jolts you when you realize it. These are people who are fighting for their lives, their very lives. And I thought, you know, we're looking at sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah.
But then as I pondered that, it brought me right back to where I live in Red Deer. And, you know, they look like me and they look like you, as you say, but they're beat up on the inside.
Yeah.
And life has beat them up. Life has taken its toll. And, you know, people in Haiti can be trapped in a fallen building, but they're trapped in pits of darkness and addiction. And so just that idea, the Lord impressed me. We're dealing with sheep without a shepherd.
Yes.
And so what's my role in that?
Yeah.
You know, Father, how can I be somebody that offers them more than what they can see? So important.
And when Jesus said that, you talk about sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus said, there are sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I want to bring them in.
Yeah.
And the people that got most angry at that were the sheep that were already in the sheep pen.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're like, you can't bring in other people into this. Right? And Jesus says, I'm going to.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to welcome them in. That included Romans.
Yes.
Romans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you think, who are the people that are completely outside of our comfort zone that we say, I don't want them people in ever.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is not like that. That's not his motivation. No. We need to keep fixing our eyes on Christ. Like I think you said this earlier on. Jesus has to be our standard.
Yeah.
Not what we feel like. We just did had a staff planning conference together, looked at the health of our church and where we are. And boy, it really became obvious pretty quick that evangelism is low on the scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we know it. We know that people are lost without Jesus. We know that if they got to know Jesus, they'd experience forgiveness and hope and life. We know that God uses us to share that. And we just don't want to do it.
Yeah. We got to get started again, right?
Yeah. And
I want to end our discussion on a note of hope, but it doesn't sound like it where I'm going to go. But I want to read something from Psalms that really, it struck me the other day. And one of my disciplines, Tim, I try and read through the Psalms every month.
Every month?
Yeah. Cool. It's like five a day. And I mean, I read other scriptures, but five a day will get you through it. And what the Psalms has done for me is give me words to talk to God with.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not so good at prayer. But if you can present me with a prayer that resonates with my heart, I could pray it. And so I feel like Psalms. And so I was reading Psalm 60. And I read these lines. You've shaken the land and torn it open. Mend its fractures for its quaking. You've shown your people desperate times. And you've given us wine that makes us stagger. And it just suddenly struck me. That's the church. You've shaken us, Father. It's the country, but it's also the church. And mend its fractures. We're fractured.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've allowed our position on vaccines or masks or whatever to divide us. And so we get all these fractures everywhere. And you know, how does that ever come back together?
Yeah.
How does it ever come back together? The last bit in the Psalm says, give us aid against the enemy, for the help of man is worthless. With God, we'll gain the victory, and he'll trample down our enemies. And as I prayed that through and said, Father, so what's the answer for this? I can't fix the country. I can take responsibility for my life. And as a leader in a church, what's my responsibility there? How do we mend the fractures in our relationships, in our churches? And the Lord put three things in my heart. You can interact with it or throw your own stuff in, but I'm a preacher like you, and somehow it always comes out in threes. But I didn't have a chance to
alliterate. It's a good rhythm. It's a good rhythm.
That's a good rhythm. Yeah. But I thought, first of all, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is always relevant. My people, called by my name, humble themselves and pray. I'll hear from heaven, you know, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. And I, only God can heal. But I got to humble myself. I got to deal with my stuff. I got to begin seeking his face. And then the second thing that the Lord put on my heart, I've got to totally forgive the people that have hurt me. We've all been offended. We've all been hurt. And we've all said stupid things. And, you know, that goes back and forth. I got to totally forgive them. You know, the basis of our fellowship isn't what we believe about end times or how we baptize, or it's Jesus. We both confess Jesus as Lord. That's the basis of our fellowship together. Yeah. We've got to get back to that. And then the last thing was, I just thought, man, we got to start looking to the Lord and his counsel. We're looking to politicians. We're looking to, you know, the latest blog or this media person to tell us what to do. You know what? I feel like the Lord's always standing there saying, hey, I'm here. You know, don't forget me. And start looking to him. And I think if we could set our hearts to do those things, to humble ourselves before him, to do what we can to build relationships properly. And to me, it doesn't matter whether people are meeting at your church or my church or in a home church. Absolutely. I just don't want to break in fellowship. No. I don't want to break in fellowship. And I want to pray that God blesses those communities and blesses your community. And if we could begin to seek his counsel, and he's got, like you said, he didn't stop working. He's got tons of wisdom for us. He knows how to walk us right through this and out the other side if we're going to come out, or in it if we're going to be in it. Yeah. So I feel there's lots of hope, but I think it starts with an acknowledgement that we've been wrecked. Yeah. This has really hit us hard, and yet it's not the end. It could be actually the beginning
of something incredible.
We've
never experienced before.
I know.
He who began the good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ.
Absolutely.
And I say, if you're out there and you feel like, you know, something is starting to stir, that is the mark of Christ on you. That's the Holy Spirit at work in you, because you are a new creation. Mm-hmm. You will not be able to stay away. You will not be able to refrain from serving. You will not be able to stop giving. You will not be able to be done with community, because you're a Christ follower. And he will stir that up in you. The Holy Spirit will stir that up in you until that need is satisfied.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you will find life.
And imagine if we find life, then we can offer life.
Absolutely.
It's pretty hard to offer life if I don't have it, you know. And
and
it doesn't matter who's out there. It's everybody's welcome.
Yeah.
I often say to myself, you can't be too bad for God, but you can be too good for him. Mm-hmm. You know, and so to be able to offer that life to anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
Just awesome. Yeah, you know, I'm always encouraged when I sit with you.
Oh, it's mutual.
We've been here before at Timber.
Yeah, and you are so generous with your time and your energy and your encouragement. It means tons to me.
Well, and you know what? The kingdom of God is advancing, and I love to connect with you on that and see what God's doing out here at Sylvan, Tim. And I thought it'd be great if we could just pray for each other in each other's churches.
Yeah.
Because we're in this thing together.
Yeah.
And I guess one of my hopes out of this, folks, is that we would remember to pray for Sylvan Alliance. And if you're watching from the Alliance, that you'd remember to pray for us, because we're part of the body of Christ together. And it doesn't matter whose name gets lifted up as long as it's Jesus.
As long as it's Jesus,
that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to pray for you guys.
Yeah,
humbled
thanks.
And honored to do that.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for Dan. Thank you for his team. Thank you for the volunteers at Crossroads. Thank you for those that have been there for years. The support and love. Thank you for those that are just checking things out. Church has been hurt by COVID, but the unchurched have been hurt by COVID too. I mean, mm-hmm. so much of their foundation has been rocked. They're trying to find something that's real, that'll last. And Jesus, you promised that if we put our trust in you, we would have eternal life. And so I would just pray for your Holy Spirit to fall afresh on Crossroads. I pray, God, that they would be a bright, shining light. You would build them together to be a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit, to become a holy temple, holy in the Lord. And you would make all the different factions, you would make them one, because what you did on the cross, you made us one. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that your will, your desire for Crossroads would be just like it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. It would be lived out in their daily lives. Jesus, we lift you up. I thank you for the history of Crossroads. I know it's impacted me powerfully as I've thought about how they've reached out to the hungry and the lost, the poor and the needy. And I pray that you would help us both, that we resurge in that. And we would reach out like you did, those who are in need, to care for them. I pray for unity on their staff. I pray, Lord, as they open your word, that you would give it, you would give them more insight than they could ever have hoped for. I pray for Dan and for his marriage, for his family. Lord, I pray that he would be drawn closer to you, closer than he's ever been. Thank you for what you bring into our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are the exalted one. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we pray in Jesus' name that Satan would go home disappointed yet again, because you have conquered him. Amen.
Father, I'm just grateful to be able to sit with Tim, and so grateful for a good relationship with Sylvan Lake Alliance. And Lord, we know, as Tim said, they came off a staff conference, and I pray they would come back refreshed, mm-hmm. having met with you. Father, I know Christy, I don't know the rest of the staff, but we love Christy, and I pray that you would just put your hand on each one of the staff at Sylvan Lake Alliance, and that you would bless them with a personal sense of your presence. And as Tim prayed for us, that you'd give them a great sense of unity, mm-hmm. and purpose and favor in the church and favor in the community. Father, for Sylvan Lake Alliance, that you'd bless them with favor in this community, that you'd open for them many doors of opportunity. Please, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and welcome people into the fellowship and lead them in relationship with Jesus. Lord, I was so encouraged. Tim said earlier, before we got going on the tape, Father, he reminded me, they bought 73 acres. And I am just blown away by that. And Lord, I pray you'd give them incredible vision for that land and incredible resources to be able to do kingdom stuff. To have a church in the middle of a community that's vibrant and flourishing. And so, Father, I pray that nobody and nothing would thwart your purposes for them as they go into this venture. Father, I pray for their leadership, their elders, and other leadership, that you'd give them a sense of unity together. Pray the enemy wouldn't be able to get in any way to divide, yep. and to cause dissension. Yep. And Father, would you protect this fellowship from the evil one who'd love to destroy it and tear it apart. I heard today, actually, before I met Tim, about the favor you put on all the churches in Sylvan, and I pray that those relationships would flourish. Please. They would be one in Christ. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray that whether your church is meeting at Sylvan Alliance or Crossroads or in homes, that you'd prosper your people.
Yes, Jesus.
And Tim and I, Father, we just want to do what you've asked us to do.
Yep.
We can't do without your Holy Spirit, so I pray you'd empower my brother again. Father, give them vision for the fall, and give them ideas for preaching, and just may your hand rest on him and his family, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. It's so good to be with you guys. God bless you.
Yep.